Galatians, still in chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. As we study through this book about grace, and specifically about how when we're saved, we now live under grace and we are not under the law. And this group of people called the Judaizers were trying to tell the churches in Galatia that they could believe in Christ, but they still needed to keep doing the things of the law. And you know what? If that's so, then grace is in vain. Why have grace if we still have to fulfill the deeds of the law? And so Paul is writing to combat this false teaching here and to, you know, they were off track. They were listening to something that they shouldn't have been listening to. And so Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to straighten this out. And so we come this morning to verse number 6. We'll read 6 through 9. And we got into this a little bit last week. We read these verses and we spent last week talking about the gospel and defining the gospel. I think it was Sunday night that we defined the gospel. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, gives a clear presentation of the gospel. If you'd like to mark that in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus only. You don't add anything. You don't take anything. Salvation is by Jesus and His blood. I like that song this morning. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Everyone who ever stands before Him will be there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And some say, well, but what about the Old Testament saints and the law? They will be there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear that the law does not save us. It cannot save us. It just shows us that we need to be saved. And so they had faith that a Savior was going to come. We have faith that a Savior has already come. It's faith in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, in verse number 6, we'll read 6 through 9 again. The Bible says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now listen here. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. He says the same thing twice, driving this home. Buddy, we ought to sit up and take note whenever Scripture repeats itself, one verse right after another. This is important stuff. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. God's Word. The Bible tells us that He has magnified it above His own name. If God takes His Word this serious, we ought to take His Word this serious. This is how God speaks to man today, is this book right here. This is how, when He was giving us this book, He spoke through different means. He spoke through angels. He spoke through visions. He spoke through dreams. He spoke directly. He used all these different things while He was giving us His Word. But now that it is complete, now that we have the completed Word of God, this is how He speaks to us, is through His Word. And He takes His Word very serious, and so should God's people. Now, I want to just break down these verses this morning and look at a few things. First of all, verse number 6. Here, Paul is dealing with the fact that they're listening to something that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ because they've added works to it. That group of people called the Judaizers have added works to it. And he says here in verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. Marvel. The word marvel means to wonder, or to be affected by surprise. Basically, what Paul's saying is he couldn't believe what they were believing. You ever talk to people and they tell you what they think or what they believe and you think, how in the world could you even believe that? That is so crazy. That is so off the wall. How could you really think that? Paul says, I marvel. I wonder at the fact that you are believing something that is so contrary to what you have been taught. Then he's saying, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. So it hadn't been long that they'd been saved. It hadn't been long since they had received the gospel. Now, if we talked about in Sunday school the last couple of weeks, we mentioned the parable of the sower. And one of the types of seeds that were sown, the birds came right away and ate it up. And the Bible tells us that that is when the gospel is preached. That's not what has happened here, but there's a point to be made. When the gospel is preached, that Satan will try to snatch it away from someone, try to distract them, try to get their mind on something else, try to snatch it away to keep them from believing the gospel. Pardon me. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody about salvation and you just thought, man, if all these other people would just go, if all these distractions would just stop, if all these things, if people would just leave us alone, then this person could pay attention. If that phone would quit ringing, if those kids would quit crying, somebody, you know, one of the benefits of going, whenever you go out calling on people and witnessing, one of the benefits of going in pairs, I mean, the disciples were sent out in pairs, but one of the benefits of doing that is that sometimes you'll get into a house, and I've had to do this before, you'll get into a house where one of you gets to share the gospel with the mother or the father, and the other one can distract the kids. You know, the kids come up, I've done it, the kids come up and you just talk to them, hey, you know, where you go to school, and you're in the same room, but you're kind of keeping the kids quiet, you know, and keeping them so that they're not bugging mom and dad and interrupting God, interrupting the preacher while he's trying to talk to them, because the devil would love to use that as an opportunity to, you know, get their minds off of the gospel that's being shared with them. Now, that's not what's happened here. That's just a principle that we can apply, and that's this. They were so soon removed. Look, the day you get saved, okay, Satan begins, he has already tried to keep you from the gospel by blinding your eyes. Now that you're saved, he has lost that battle. So then his battle plans change. He can no longer have your soul because you're eternally secure. So now what he's going to try to do is keep you from being an effective Christian. And he gets to work right now. I mean, as soon as you get saved, as soon as you, he doesn't take any time off. He gets at it right now. And Paul says, you're so soon removed. That means that not long after they received the gospel and got saved, right after that, somebody came in with something to try to distract them, some kind of false teaching to get them off track. But he says, "I marvel." Okay, he can't believe that they are believing this. But church, when we take our eyes off of the truth, they were so soon removed. When we take our eyes off of the truth and off of what we know God's word says, we're liable to believe anything. And you know, people that slip into false doctrine normally do it just like that. They normally slip. It's normally a little bit at a time. It's normally very deceptive, too. And so, here he says that he marvels that this is happening with them. Now, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Okay? So, the question is, are you accustomed to his voice by being in the Word? When someone comes and speaks and they claim to be speaking biblically, are you well enough acquainted with the Word to be able to say, that's right, that is what the Bible says, or to say, you know what, that doesn't line up with the Bible? But if you don't know the voice of God because you're not in His Word, we're not talking about an audible voice from heaven. His voice is His Word. If you don't know God's voice, if you don't know His Word, then a Judaizer is liable to come along and tell you, you know what, that's fine what you believe, but you know also you're supposed to do this, and you may just snatch up the bait. You may just snatch it up and get hooked by it. We've got to know God's voice. We've got to know His Word. We have to know what the Word says so that we won't be removed from it. His voice is in His Word, and we have to be reminded of it. That's why we don't read through a book of the Bible or read through the Bible and then never open it back up. You know, I was reading something. I don't even remember exactly what the article was that I was reading, what it was on, but somebody had written a comment on this article, and they said, once you've read through the Bible, you've got it, and so there's no need to go back and reread it. You already know what it says. Isn't that insane? I don't know if the person claimed to be a Christian or not. I pray nobody took that seriously. I pray nobody read that and took it seriously. But that's what they said. No, we have to be reminded. The Bible tells us to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to be in it. And not just read it, but study it and know what it means. And to rightly divide it means that whenever someone like the Judaizers come along and say, well, you know, here's really what you're supposed to do, we have to be able to take the Word of God and say, no, here's what the God says about the law. Here's what God says about grace. What you're saying does not line up with the Bible. I'm going with the Bible. I'm going with the Bible every time. Now, if you come and you talk and what you're saying agrees with the Bible, then we're in agreement together because we're agreeing with the Bible, not with one another. But we have to know what the Bible says. We have to know what it says. But he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. When you stop and consider Christ and what he has done for us and the fact that he has called us, why would we want to move away from that? Why would we want Paul? What Paul's saying is, I can't believe what you're believing. I can't believe. I'm having a hard time understanding why you would give up something as wonderful as grace to voluntarily put yourself back under the law. That's what he's saying here. I marvel that you're saved, and you're saved by grace, and you're living under grace, and you don't have to fulfill the law. And basically what Paul's getting at here is, why would you remove yourselves from that? Why would you turn your back on the grace of God? And the one, he says, from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, he's saying, why would you even listen to this person that taught you something contrary than what God has delivered to us? Why would you listen or believe anyone or anything else? If you'll turn with me over to Romans chapter 3. While you're turning there, I want to reread this. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So he's saying somebody has drawn you away from Christ. They haven't lost their salvation. He's just saying somebody has drawn you away from believing what you should be believing. And then in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Okay, if it doesn't line up with God's word, it's a lie. And so Paul's saying, why are you listening to these people that are telling you something contrary to what God has already delivered to us? It's a lie. Why would you listen to that? If you go to Romans chapter 8, while we're there, go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. (Clears throat) Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Who called you? God did. God called you to salvation. God calls a man. God draws a man. God does the work. He called you to salvation. It wasn't Paul. Paul delivered the gospel to them. Paul wasn't the one that drew them. That was the work of God. And he's saying, you are turning from God that drew you into salvation to believe a man, to believe something that's contrary to what God has already told you. Why would we listen to anyone other than God? Look, I know we do, but it's still wrong. We're not supposed to listen to anybody other than God unless they speak in accordance with God's word. It's kind of like children. A couple of parents do what they can and pour themselves into a child and love them and take care of them and nurture them and bring them up and everything. And then, and maybe you've seen this happen and I've seen it happen, good parents, good to their kids and train them the way they should go and raise them in church. And then some teenage girl listens to the first boy that comes along that smiles at her, or some boy listens to the first girl that comes along and winks at him and smells pretty and everything. And then she starts, or he starts, you really believe that stuff? Your parents, you know, my family, what we believe is. And how many times have you seen, a young boy or a young girl turn on their parents, turn on what they've been raised, go against what they've been taught 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years for someone they've known for 2-3 months that comes in and tells them something that doesn't line up with what they've been raised on? You've seen that happen. Maybe it happened to you when you were young. Or maybe you were the one that deceived somebody else. I don't know. I hope not, but we all have sin, and you know, we've all sinned. Maybe some of us were the deceivers. Maybe some of us were the deceived. Who knows? Or maybe you've just seen it happen. But you want to look at these young people and you want to say, why are you listening to them when your parents are the ones who have loved you and nurtured you and taken care of you and raised you up and been so good to you? Why would you listen? Well, you know what? That's what Paul's saying here. The gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ is so good, it's so wonderful, and it's God that delivered it to you, and it's God that called you. Why would you listen to somebody other than God? Well, we've got to be His Word to be able to listen to Him. And so it's unbelievable to the apostle that they would listen to anything other than the gospel of grace. Now, they had not lost their salvation, but they had voluntarily placed themselves under improper teaching. They were still saved. He calls them brethren. They're still saved. They just had voluntarily listened to something they shouldn't have listened to, and they had started to put themselves back under the law. Notice they put themselves back under it. Okay? God didn't put them there. They voluntarily put themselves under the law. What they had removed themselves from, in verse number 6, what they had removed themselves from was a lifestyle of grace, of living under the grace of God. They had voluntarily removed themselves from that lifestyle of grace. Now look at verse number 7, which is not another, talking about this other gospel. But there be some... So when he says, which is not another, what he's saying is, there's only one gospel. There's not another way to be saved. Anything other than the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, is a perversion. Okay? So he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Do you believe somebody would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely they would. You believe people are still perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely they are. You believe somebody would actually take Scripture and pervert it and twist it and make it, try to make it say something that it doesn't? You better believe it. It began in the garden with who? With Satan. When he said to Eve, "Hath God said?" And he tried to take God's words and twist them into something that they weren't. And it hasn't stopped yet. He loves to twist God's word. He's done it from the very beginning. To pervert means to turn from truth or from its proper purpose, or to corrupt. So if you pervert someone, you're turning them from what is good, what is true, to something that is not. You are corrupting them. And people today are trying to pervert God's word and to pervert the gospel. There's one, I think it's the, remember that whole fad that they had, that 40 days of purpose or something? Okay, purpose-driven life and 40 days of purpose. They're both Rick Warren, aren't they? Okay, he did both of them. Purpose-driven life and 40 days of purpose. And that's all this Rick Warren stuff. The prayer, I've heard that they have like a salvation prayer, like a sinner's prayer that goes along with that. And one of the things that it says is there's something in it like, you know, "Oh God, as best as I can understand it right now." And it's just, it's this real crazy, weak it's prayer to try to get people to say it, you know, and try to get people to think that they're saved. And the gospel is so plain. The death, burial, and resurrection. Why can't people leave it alone? Well, because Satan doesn't want to leave it alone. He wants to lead people astray. He doesn't want people getting saved. And there's money to be made in perverting the gospel. There's lots of money to be made in perverting the gospel. And so, man has always, and still today, tries to pervert the gospel. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and verses 1 through 3. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." That's what was happening in Galatia. "Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words," now look, "make merchandise of you, whose judgment is now of a long time, lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." They make merchandise. People pervert the gospel and teach false doctrines to make merchandise out of people, to make gain off of people, to make money off of people. So that's one of the reasons why they pervert it. Might be for power and control, might be for money. But it's all perversion of God's word. So, let's get down to the real meat of this passage here in verses 8 and 9. So he's saying, I can't believe that you would believe this. And then he comes here and he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." It doesn't matter where you claim to have heard it. If it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not interested. We're not listening. It doesn't matter where you claim to have gotten this revelation. If it's not God's word, if it didn't come from God's word, we're not listening to it. It doesn't matter what grandma said, grandpa said, the guy on television said. If it's not from God's word, we're not listening to it. This is the gospel, and this is what we will hold to. And Paul says, if anybody tries to tell you a gospel that is not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what we have delivered unto you, plus nothing, minus nothing, if anybody tries to deliver you anything other than that, let him be accursed. Paul says, he says, if I tell you something that's wrong, you listen to God's word. He says, if I tell you something that doesn't line up, you go with God's word, don't you listen to me. Every pastor ought to have that. Every pastor ought to have that attitude and that mindset. Church, if I ever tell you anything that doesn't line up with this word, first of all, you had better come talk to me and we'll get this thing right. Second of all, if I were to teach something that doesn't line up with this word and you bring it up and you bring it to me and I persist, you do not listen to me. You listen to God's word. Because I'm wrong. I'm a liar if I don't line up with his word, and he is true. And it doesn't matter who it is. And shame on churches where the pastor cannot be approached. Shame on churches where if the pastor preaches something that isn't right, the people are scared to death to say anything because he thinks he's so high and mighty that you can't approach him. You see something that isn't right, you better come get me. Now, when we get together over God's word, we might find that I was right and you were wrong. We might find that you were right and I was wrong, but we better have the attitude that no matter what we come to, we're both going to line up with God's word, no matter who was right and who was wrong. We might have both been wrong. But shame on these places and these churches where you can't even talk to the pastor because you don't contradict the pastor. Well, if he says it, then that's law. Don't contradict him. That's not Bible. That is not Bible. Paul says, if we, the ones that preach to you this gospel, if we change it, don't you listen to us. He says, if an angel from heaven, comes down and tells you something that doesn't line up with this, you don't listen. Church, that alone ought to show us the seriousness of God's word. And so, people, all the time, well, God told me. And it doesn't line up with God's word. You're lying. God didn't tell you that. Because he's not a liar, and he's not the author of confusion, and he will never contradict his word. And people say, well, you know, here's the big one. Here's the big one right now. If you'd like to disobey God and make a lot of money, write a book claiming you went to heaven and saw Jesus. Because that's where the money is right now. That's the trend. These people say, well, I died and went to heaven and saw Jesus and come back. And man, these books are just full of contradictions. Just full of contradictions to the word of God. It's a lie. You know, the Bible, just go down this trail real quick. You know, the Bible tells us about one person that went to heaven and came back. And we kind of think it was Paul himself because he's the one that told the story and it kind of sounded like it was him. But if it was Paul, he didn't even tell people that it was him. He said, I knew a man. Some people kind of think maybe it was him. And he was talking about himself. I don't know. I mean, he said, I knew a man, so it sounds like he's talking about somebody else. But anyhow, whoever it was, Paul didn't even reveal his name. And Paul said that what he saw, he wasn't allowed to tell anybody. That right there is enough for somebody to say, oh, I went to heaven, and God told me to come back and say this. No, he didn't. Because it only happened once in Scripture, and that man, we don't even know who it is, and he wasn't allowed to tell anything that he saw. It doesn't line up with God's word. we don't want to have any part of. We don't want to have anything to do with it. Or that should be the attitude of God's people. No matter what. But people will follow a man and they'll, oh, well, you say you heard from God. And you say that God told you this. Well, you know God told him that. And here's the one, look, you have to understand, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look, someone says, well, you know, God told him this and it happened. You don't think the devil is capable of orchestrating some things in your life? Is that not what he's going to do during the tribulation? False miracles, false signs, and false wonders. You don't think that the devil is capable to send somebody to you to tell you something and then orchestrate some things to make you think it came about? If it's not God's word, we don't want it. And Paul says, even if an angel comes down from heaven, if they tell you something that's different, let them be accursed. 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now look at verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That is why you ought not let cults, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, whatever, that come to your door, that's why you ought not let them in the house. Stand on the doorstep and give them a track and witness to them, fine. But that's why you ought not let them in the house. And the Bible's saying, when they leave, don't you dare wish them well in the name of God, because they're not doing God's work. Because what they're saying is another gospel. It doesn't line up with this word. So people say, well, you know, we're all just trying to get to the same place and we're all just kind of doing it wrong. No. No. We're going to the same place if we have all believed the gospel. We're going to the same place if we have followed the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ. We're not just trying to figure it out and we're all doing the best we can and, you know, well, they might have it a little bit different. No. The way, the truth, the life. There is one way to heaven. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, if somebody tells you something that's different from that, let him be accursed. What does that mean? I'm afraid that because of what has happened to our English language, we hear the word accursed and we think of putting a curse on somebody or hexing somebody. I'm afraid that our language has deteriorated to that point. But here's what it means. It means doomed to destruction or misery, separated from the faith, cast out of the church. That's what the word accursed means. Doomed to destruction or misery, separated from the faith, cast out of the church. So here's what Paul's saying. Get rid of them and don't listen to them if they're not preaching according to this word. What's that mean for our church? Somebody, a missionary is on deputation wanting support. They come here, they support their ministry. They don't line up with the word, we don't support them. We have a guest preacher in. Maybe we've listened. Well, I hope we've listened to him. We've listened to him. We've not heard anything wrong. But then when he gets up here, he preaches something that's contrary to God's word, we don't have him back. We don't listen to it. We don't bring in people that don't preach according to this word. Everything has to line up with God's word. God's word is the authority, and if you say anything that doesn't line up with this, God is true and every man is a liar. This is our standard right here. This is our final authority. When I was putting this together, I was thinking about this. I didn't read the whole book, but I read, this was back before I read as much as I do now. I wasn't a real good reader, you know, growing up, unless it was Spider-Man, Superman, something like that. I mean, I read a lot of comic books when I was growing up, and things like that. But I just wasn't, I just didn't really read a lot. I enjoy reading now, but so in my early 20s and everything, I still wasn't the greatest, you know, reader. But anyhow, read part of this book called The God Makers. And it's a book written by an ex-Mormon who had been a Mormon for like 20-some years and went way up in the church. And then he got saved. And so now his ministry is he goes around and he tells people the truth about, you know, he preaches the gospel and tells the truth about what the Mormons believe and everything. And they hate him because they've got all these secrets they don't want exposed. And as a matter of fact, he was in Florida preaching in a church in Florida. And he was preaching, he was telling people some of the things that they do in the Mormon temple, okay? After church, when men were leaving the church, one guy kind of cornered him. And he said, listen, he said, you're revealing the secrets of the lodge, and you better knock it off or you're going to end up getting in trouble. I'm just warning you, you better quit telling the... So what this guy was saying goes on in the Mormon church, they were doing in their lodge. I don't know if it was Masonic Lodge or what it was, but they were doing this stuff in their lodge. He said, you mean that's the stuff you do in your lodge? The guy said, yeah, and those are the secrets of the lodge, and you better quit exposing them. And he said, well, then you're in the same pit of hell that I was in when I was in the Mormon church. So when I was putting this sermon together, I got to thinking about some of the things that I learned when I was reading that. I read part of that book, and it was some of the stuff that he had talked about. And I want to share with you something real quick. Now, you know that it is not my... I don't get up and preach whole sermons targeting other beliefs and religions because we come here to preach the Word. But while we're preaching the Word... If there's an opportunity to expose something or give you some information on something, I believe it's important to do that because some of us have people that believe these things in our families, on the job, at school. And so we just need to know the Word, but it's nice to know a little bit sometimes of what they believe. It could help us to be a better witness whenever we're trying to witness to these people and talk to these people. So I wanted to share something with you here. In Galatians, Paul is saying, if it doesn't line up with what God has said, don't you listen. Okay? These are I'm not going to read them all. I just picked a few. These are the 14 fundamentals. This is an actual sermon preached. This is on the Latter-day Saints. That's the Mormon church. This is on their website. This is a sermon that's on their website. You can go read the whole thing. I don't encourage you to, but I'm just telling you, that's where I got this. From them. This isn't hearsay. This is from them. These are some of the 14 fundamentals of being a good Mormon. In their church, whoever the president of the church is, he's called the prophet. That's their current prophet. If you're the president of the Mormon church, then you're the prophet. Okay? So that's who they're referring to when they say prophet. The prophet is the only man who speaks for the Lord in everything. You know who else says that? Pope. That's what Catholics believe about the Pope, about the bishops. The living prophet is more vital to us than the standard works. Now, when I say that, that sounds like, well, okay. But you know what they regard as the standard works? The Bible, the Book of Mormon, and they've got something called the Doctrines and Covenants. Those are what they call the standard works. So when they say the living prophet is more vital to us than the standard works, that means whatever their president says is more important than what the Bible says. The living prophet is more important to us than a dead prophet. One of their teachings is if their prophet gets up and says something that contradicts what somebody else has said, even if it's from the Bible, you're to listen to the current prophet and not to listen to what the Bible or the president before him said. Therefore, the most important reading we can do is any of the words of the prophet contained each month in our church magazine. The most important reading they can do is in their church magazine, not the Bible, the church magazine. Our instructions about what we should do for each 6 months are found in the general conference addresses, which are printed in the church magazine. So you get 6 months of instruction at a time. Beware of those who would set up the dead prophets against the living prophets, for the living prophets always take precedence. Paul said, even if I tell you something different than what I've already told you, you don't listen to me if I go changing God's word. They say, no, 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 no. whatever we say takes precedence over anything that was said before. The prophet does not have to say, "Thus saith the Lord," to give us scripture. Finally, the prophet and the presidency, the living prophet and the first presidency, follow them and be blessed, reject them and suffer. Now, this is what they teach. This is what they believe. Okay, so church, what is that? This is modern day Galatia. In Galatia, these men were coming around and they were teaching something that completely contradicted what God had already said. And Paul said, "Don't you dare listen. Let that person be accursed. Even if it's an angel from heaven, let that person be accursed. Even if I tell you different, you don't listen to me. You let me be accursed and you listen to what God said and what God's word says." And now we have cults today saying, "No, no, no. You listen to what we say, not what God said." Take away from this truth right here. God is that serious about His holy word. How should you and I reverence His holy word? What should our attitude be? What should our approach be to that? Everything must line up with God's word, because the word is complete. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That means this and this alone is all we need. And Paul says, if somebody comes to you and tries to tell you something that doesn't say this, don't you dare listen to them. Put them away from you. Let them be accursed. Let's pray, and then we'll have a hymn of invitation.